Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. We begin on the front page above the fold, Paxton Buckley Lota School District. $11,000 already spent on lawsuit defense. Freedom of Information response shows $11,183 paid so far by Paxton Buckley Lota School District to Monticello Law Firm with liability insurance covering rest of costs. Paxton. Paxton Buckley Lota School District taxpayers have already footed a big bill totaling more than $11,000 in attorney fees to fight lawsuits alleging the inappropriately touching of female students by suspended teacher and former coach Rob Pacey. Since last June, when the first in the series of lawsuits was filed in Ford County Circuit Court, the district has paid $11,183 to the Monticello law firm of Miller, Tracy, Braun, Funk, and Miller, Limited, for services provided in connection with the litigation of the district revealed in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. In an itemized list of the invoices released Monday to the Ford County Chronicle, showed 27 entries of billed hours over a total of 15 dates, spanning from June 26, 2025 through April 30, 2026. The fees, billed at $315 per hour, ranged from a little as $78.75 on six separate occasions to $2,363 on July 31, 2025. According to information provided by the district, the bills were for time spent by attorney Chris Miller on research, phone consultations with the school district officials, and Title IX investigations, reviewing and complying case files, reviewing court orders, protective orders, case status reports, coverage letters, Freedom of Information Act responses, and Illinois Department of Children and Family Service notices, and exchanging emails with Unit Office Manager Amy Teske, Assistant Superintendent Tara Chandler, and Itasaka Attorney Michael Bersani. Interim Superintendent John Kilgore noted that the fees paid to Miller's firm were for consulting work provided and are separate from the other attorney costs paid to Bersani's firm by the district's general liability insurance carrier, the Illinois County's Risk Management Trust. Because Bersani's costs are covered by insurance, Kilgore said the amount paid to his firm was not included in the district's response to the Chronicle's June 15th Freedom of Information request, which sought copies of all invoices received and/or paid for legal representation related to the litigation. Under the district's insurance coverage, the ICRMT, that is the Illinois County's Risk Management Trust, is paying for Bersani to represent four of the lawsuit's defendants: the district, PBL Junior High School Principal Josh Didier, and former superintendents Travis Dooley and Cliff McClure, while Chicago attorney Emily Schnitt is representing Pacey, the fifth defendant. The series of lawsuits were filed by Chicago attorney Bhavani Ravidran on behalf of six current and former students who claim that Pacey inappropriately touched them and that administrators dismissed their complaints and neglected to notify the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services as required. The alleged incidents occurred from 2010 to 2025. Pacey remained Monday on paid administrative leave from his position as a science, technology, engineering, and math teacher at Clara Peterson Elementary School in Paxton, Kilgore confirmed. Pacey's biweekly pay was $2,216 as of the last school year. Pacey, who was reassigned to the elementary school after starting his career as a teacher at the junior high school, has not been criminally charged and has denied any wrongdoing, saying in a statement last summer that he is deeply troubled by the claims and, without a doubt, has done nothing wrong. Another court hearing on the lawsuit is set for 1:30 p.m., Tuesday, September 1st. Also on the front page and from the Paxton-Buckley-Lota School District, a time of transition at PBL. After interim stint, John Kilgore turning over reins to Eric Bohm on July 1st as PBL superintendent. Bohm getting to work on hiring of staff, next budget. Eric Bohm learned early the benefits of hard work and dedication to a job. Growing up in the Livingston County town of Cornell, population 450, Bohm began working at age 13 when he started delivering the Pantograph newspaper. He did it every day for 4 years. There were no days off, not Christmas Day, not weekends, not for bad weather. Bohm didn't just bring the news to people's doorstep. He also walked beans, pulling weeds before modern advances in herbicides and plant genetics made that job largely unnecessary. That was part of growing up. That and baling hay, Bohm said. Bohm plans to use that work ethic in his new job as superintendent of the Paxton-Buckley-Lota School District. It instilled those values that I have today, Bohm said. Whatever job I have, you devote everything to that position and make sure it's done right. Bohm officially starts the superintendent's job on Wednesday, July 1st. He has not been taking it easy so far during the summer break. Interim Superintendent John Kilgore, a man he's worked with for 2 decades, has started getting Bohm up to speed for the new job. Kilgore said Bohm has been very involved in the transition. I'm keeping him in the loop on the current budget and preparing for the next budget and everything else that's required in the transition, Kilgore said. As far as hiring goes, any hiring positions that have taken place, he has taken the lead on that. June 30th is Kilgore's final official day as interim superintendent. It's been a nice balanced end of the year in terms of him setting things up for the future and me kind of closing things out for this year, Kilgore said. Bohm and Kilgore have been in contact in person and by phone. The two know each other well, having worked together for the past 20 years. Kilgore, until last year as Pontiac Township High School District Superintendent, and Bohm at the high school the past 17 years, including 14 as principal. Kilgore said he had been retired for all of 60 days when he got the call asking him to take the interim post at PBL following the unexpected June 2025 resignation of Travis Dooley as superintendent. I can only work 120 days as a retired person, Kilgore said. It's been a little bit of a challenge to work in a district of this size and only be able to be here 2 to 3 days a week. A lot happened this year that I wasn't anticipating. That includes a lot of transition during the school year, for which I was thankful to have been an experienced superintendent, Kilgore said. The 57-year-old Kilgore is a busy guy. He also serves as interim chief executive officer of the Greater Livingston County Economic Council. Kilgore said he plans to continue working with that organization during its transition to new leadership. Kilgore received the call to step into the CEO role about a week after he got the call to take the interim PBL post. Kilgore had served for more than a decade on the Economic Development Council's boards. I'm failing at retirement, Kilgore joked. A native of Elgin, Kilgore has been in education for 35 years and came by the focus naturally. His mother was a teacher. Kilgore's early stops were teaching history, social studies, government, and geography at Moline High School and University High School in Normal. He also coached football and track in those districts. Other stops along the way included those in Fieldcrest and Pontiac Junior High School before he began his administrative role for the Pontiac Township High School District. Kilgore said he believes Bohm will do a good job as PBL superintendent. Eric is very organized and very focused, Kilgore said. He's very student-oriented. He's very focused on the academics and service-oriented, and he's a straight shooter. Bohm's vocational road was more eclectic than Kilgore's. His experience has come by land and by sea. The 53-year-old joined the U.S. Coast Guard straight out of high school, serving for 4 years, after which he entered truck driving school to become a semi-truck driver. I was out in Connecticut for a period and came back and worked for a company out of Iowa as an over-the-road trucking position and then in Peoria, Bohm said. Bohm began a job as a service technician for John Deere in Minier, working on combines and planters and doing equipment setup before making a career change decision to go into education. While a student at Heartland Community College in Normal, he became enamored of history. "I just loved history," Bohm said. "I loved learning about the why things were the way they were, or at least the background of it." It prompted Bohm to enroll at Illinois State University to work toward a teaching degree. He earned a master's degree in history and first taught at Flanagan High School for a year and then taught government and world history for 4 years and coached girls' golf at Pontiac. Kilgore earned a master's degree at ISU to become an administrator and served as assistant principal at Pontiac for 3 years and principal for the last 14. Bohm said his new position at PBL excites him, noting that working in education is a satisfying career. "I just really enjoy building positive relationships with people, seeing students being able to go through where you work and focus on what they want to be in life. When they come back and say, 'Thank you,' it's rewarding. If I can play a small part in someone's life and help them along the way, it's so humbling." Bohm said the communities that make up the PBL and Pontiac High School districts feature many similarities. "I feel we share the same values, that work ethic," Bohm said. "There's a lot of pride in the Paxton-Buckley-Lota communities. Those are towns I can relate to." Bohm is not only comfortable in an office and around people, he's handy. One hobby is woodworking. "I built my kitchen in my house," Bohm said. "I built some small furniture." Bohm said he built a camper out of a cargo trailer and the family uses it on camping trips. Bohm also enjoys bicycling, having done some 100-mile events. "I try to stay physically fit and exercise," Bohm said. "I ride a bike trainer and do some moderate weightlifting." Bohm and his wife of 28 years, Michelle, have one 18-year-old son, Gabriel. Kilgore said the teachers and staff at PBL are very dedicated, with a lot of school spirit. They were also very welcoming after Kilgore was brought in last September after the school year had already started. "Only being here several days a week and being someone they didn't know, they were very welcoming and receptive to me," Kilgore said. "The unit office staff that I worked most closely with here was super at getting me up to speed and where things were and up to speed on how things are done," who added Kilgore, who also lauded school board president Don Bachtold, whom he said was very informative. "I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come here," Kilgore said. "I hope I made a positive impact in my short time here. While the district has had a lot of transition, I'm excited about where it is headed." Turning to the inside of the paper, we have from the Frederick Community Bank and the Buckley State Bank, parent companies of local banks announce merger. News announced by Agricultural Banking Corp. and Buckley Bancorp Incorporated. Paxton. Agricultural Banking Corp., the parent company of the Frederick Community Bank of Paxton, and Buckley Bancorp Incorporated, the parent company of Buckley State Bank of Buckley, jointly announced Monday the signing of a definitive agreement under which the Buckley Bancorp will merge with and into Agricultural Banking Corp., with Agricultural Banking Corp. as the surviving corporation, and Buckley State Bank will merge with and into the Frederick Community Bank, with the Frederick Community Bank as the surviving bank. As of March 31st, Buckley State Bank reported assets of approximately $50 million in total deposits, of $40 million and $30 million in loans. Once the merger is completed, the Federal Community Bank will have branches in Paxton, Buckley, and Cisna Park. With an expected parent company merger closing date in the fourth quarter of 2026 and tentative bank merger date in the second quarter of 2027, the pro forma institution is estimated to have approximately $250 million in assets, $225 million in deposits, and $125 million in loans. Selected Buckley State Bank board members will join the combined board of the Frederick Community Bank. It is expected that all Buckley State Bank officers and employees will continue serving in similar capacities to help ensure a smooth transition and preserve the continued practice of local decision-making. We are excited to partner with an institution that not only complements us geographically, but also shares our commitment to community banking, said Justin Swan, president of the Frederick Community Bank. The communities we serve already share strong ties, and this merger will further strengthen those connections. We are pleased to welcome the employees of Buckley State Bank, who understand the important role a community bank plays in the community it serves. Buckley State Bank President Joshua Hutzel said finding a partner institution that shares our deep commitment to community banking was a top priority. Through our long-standing relationship with the Frederick Community Bank, we have seen firsthand the strong alignment between our organization's cultures and values. We are truly excited about the opportunities this partnership creates and confident it will strengthen our ability to serve our customers. The management and staff of Buckley State Bank look forward to continuing to meet the banking needs of Buckley and the surrounding communities as part of the Frederick Community Bank, while building on the trusted relationships we have established over the years. The merger agreement has been unanimously approved by the respective boards of Buckley Bank Corp. Incorporated and Agricultural Banking Corp., Buckley State Bank, and the Frederick Community Bank. Completion of the merger remains subject to required regulatory approvals and the approval of Buckley Bancorp Incorporated shareholders. Dickinson Wright, PLLC, served as legal counsel to the Agricultural Banking Corp and the Frederick Community Bank. Gerrish Smith Tuck, PC, served as legal counsel to Buckley Bancorp and the Buckley State Bank. Founded in 1908 as Clarence State Bank, the Frederick Community Bank was formed under its current name in 2018 through the merger of the First National Bank in Paxton and Cisna Park State Bank. Descendants of the Frederick family continue to be active in the management of the bank. Buckley State Bank was originally established in 1869 as Buckley Bank, and the bank was formally chartered as Buckley State Bank in 1920. Turning back to the front page, we have one final story from the PBL School District. New principals hiring expected by end of June. PBL School Board to call special meeting to approve. Paxton. Before the end of this month, the Paxton-Buckley-Lotus School District could have a new high school principal hired. Interim Superintendent John Kilgore said that following the June 19th application deadline, the school board is expected to call a special meeting before the end of June to approve a hire. A meeting date has not been set, Kilgore said Wednesday, as interviews still need to be arranged. Incoming Superintendent Eric Bohm, who officially begins his duties at PBL on July 1st, is leading the search, Kilgore said. The high school is in need of a new principal as a result of this month's promotion of Hannah Eshelman to Assistant Superintendent of Teaching and Learning. Eshelman, who replaces Assistant Superintendent Tara Chandler, who is leaving PBL on July 1st to become Superintendent of Arcola Schools, was the high school principal since July 1st, 2023, following stints as Assistant Principal of Prairie Central High School, Principal of Prairie Central Upper Elementary School, and Assistant Principal of Clara Peterson Elementary School, and teaching stops in Paxton, Denver, Africa, and Chicago. The high school position, high school principal's position, was posted online on the Illinois Association of School Administrators Illinois Education Job Bank. The notice shows a July 9th start date and a salary range of $90,000 to $115,000 annually for the position, which requires at least a master's degree in school administration with a valid Illinois professional educator license with a principal endorsement. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 24th. Mary E. Bellanger, or Bellanger, it's spelled B-E-L-A-N-G-E-R. Paxton. Mary Elizabeth Bellanger, 93, of Paxton, died Thursday, June 11th at Accolade on Pels in Paxton. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Gabriel L. Fairchild, Gibson City. Gabriel Lee Fairchild, 45, died at his home in Gibson City on Tuesday, June 16, after a 7-year battle with his health. Arrangements will be announced at a later date. John D. Fields, Gibson City. John D. Jack Fields, 85, of Gibson City, died Monday, June 15th, at his home, surrounded by his family. Funeral services were held Tuesday, June 23rd, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial, with military honors, was at Drummer Township Cemetery, again in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Elliott Amvets Post, number 276. John M. Houston, Paxton. John Michael Houston, 61, of Paxton, died at 8:14 p.m. Wednesday, June 17th, at his home. Visitation was from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 23rd, at the Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston, after which cremation rites were accorded. Memorial donations may be made to his family. Robert E. Irving, Loda. Robert Eugene Bob Irving, 87, of rural Loda, died at 8:40 p.m. Sunday, June 14th, at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pels. A celebration of life service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Buckley Loda High School FFA chapter or to the Loda Truck and Tractor Pull Association. Aaron M. Linares, and that's spelt L-I-N-A-R-E-S, Hoopston. Aaron Matthew Linares, 43, of Hoopston, father of Paxton residents, died Thursday, June 18th in Danville. Funeral services were held Wednesday, June 24th, at the Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac. Cremation rites were accorded after the service. Memorials may be made to the funeral home to help the family with funeral expenses. Virgil L. Neiman, Buckley. Virgil L. Neiman, 90, of Buckley, died at 5:38 p.m. Saturday, June 20th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Thursday, June 25th at St. John Lutheran Church in Buckley with the Reverend Mark Nelson officiating. Burial followed in St. John's Cemetery, Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church and School or to Buckley Fire Department EMTs. Nathan A. Savoie, or Savoy, it is spelled S-A-V-O-I-E. Taylorville. Nathan André Savoie, 36, of Taylorville, a graduate of Paxton Buckley Lota High School, died Friday, June 12th at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago. A celebration of his life will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to the Mayo Clinic. We return to the news with an article from Gibson City Alderman Susie Tongate. Plans underway for Gibson City's 250th celebration. Gibson City will be holding a patriotic celebration in its downtown on Saturday, July 11th. A full day of activities are planned starting at noon with a ceremony and a parade. Following are games for people of all ages, live music from 1 to 10:30 p.m., and a variety of food and snack vendors. Here are some events that people may want to be planning ahead for. The ceremony and parade. At noon, a ceremony at City Hall will kick off the activities, with a flag raising, singing of the national anthem, and several speeches will be given. Following will be a parade that will start at the Christian Church on Sangamon Avenue and 12th Street, and that will move through the downtown and South Sangamon Avenue, where it will end on 5th Street. Youngsters wanting to participate in the parade can gather just past the railroad tracks by the former Horseradish employee parking area to join in the parade as it moves through and pull off as the parade reaches 7th Street. There will be judging of kids dressed in patriotic attire and any decorated pets that want to join in immediately following the parade in the kids area just west of City Hall. We are looking for patriotic entries to participate in our parade. Decorate your car, truck, or golf cart. Also, kids are welcome to dress up and walk or bring their bike or other vehicle for the downtown portion of the parade. Got a puppy that would enjoy showing off? They are welcome to join in, and there will be judging of both the kids and the puppy entries. Car and truck show. There will be a car and truck show, and we are looking for classic vehicles to join in. Pre-registration is not necessary, but we ask that you arrive between 11 a.m. and noon so you are in place before the activities start. There will be judging and prizes awarded at 3 p.m., and cars will be free to leave any time afterwards. When arriving, the classic cars should come downtown using Church Street and turning west on 9th Street, where they will be directed to the parking area. There is a time capsule. We will be burying a time capsule as part of this 250th U.S. recognition. If anyone has appropriate items to go in this, please contact Susie Tongate at 309-825-0311. Also, there will be a farmer's market on its regular parking lot on Sangamon Avenue. There are games and other activities throughout the day, a bags tournament, a scavenger hunt. The Falcon's Nest is organizing a scavenger hunt for adult participants that will be focused on the downtown area. There is bingo and live music. People are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and come downtown to participate or just watch all of the activities going on. There will be live music to enjoy all day. Performing from 1 to 3 p.m. will be Dave and Lisa, followed by Kaylin Little from 3 to 4 p.m., with the Back Pages taking the stage at 4 p.m. Lexi Teifel will then finish the night from 7:30 to 10:30, and she is provided by the Falcon Nest. There will also be lots of food options to choose from, and plenty of snacks and treats available too. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.